problem. I have never left my country, nor have I ceded any part of it.
Let's talk. Triple A's flagship program that continues to elevate the diverse voices of First Nations people across the country. Centered around the unceded sovereignty of First Nations people in this country, honouring the history with a solutions-based focus on the future. With your host, Pomeroy journalist, Danny Tierce Johnson.
Yama, hello and welcome to Let's Talk. I'm your host, Danny Tierce Johnson, Gomeroi journalist from Moree in New South Wales. Shout out to the Mihai. I'd like to start the show by acknowledging country. I acknowledge the traditional owners from the lands that we broadcast from, and I extend that greeting all across this beautiful black nation of ours today to your elders past and present, to wherever you are listening. Today on the show, it's a black excellent show, and I'm really intrigued and really interested in this topic. I'm talking to Brother Josh Taliani, I think it is. If I didn't pronounce that, Josh, please correct me. But today we're talking about Vogue, which is a highly stylized modern house dance originating in the late 1980s that evolved out of the Harlem ballroom scene of the 1960s. Josh will correct me on all this if I'm wrong, people. It gained mainstream exposure when it was featured in Madonna's song and video Vogue, and was showcased in the 1990 documentary, which I love. If you haven't seen this, go and see it, Paris is Burning. Won an Oscar back in 1990. But through my cousins here, Ruby Wharton, a friend of mine, Mia, I've been introduced to the scene of the ballroom scene in Brisbane, and I had the creator or founder of this, I believe. Josh, welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, brother, how you going?
I'm real good. Before we get into it, can you... just tell us your mob, your country, and a bit about yourself for the audience that doesn't know you, please, Bala.
So my name is Joshua Taliani. I'm a queer First Nation Italian fellow. My mob is the Bidjara and Kalalee mob. Mainly we're all around the Charleville Way, Central West Queensland, up Warrego Highway. And as for myself, I consider myself an artist nowadays just because I like to try different things, but my main forte is dancing, which I've been doing since 2007. God, that's ages ago.
They start calling you uncle now, these young ones.
No!
Brother, tell us about voguing. For me, like, I'm a bit of an older black fella, not that smart, but I was just really interested in this scene of the ballroom scene here in Brisbane. Introduced by Ruby Wharton, who just looking at her Instagram. But it's just amazing. I just thought this is such a beautiful thing for our young mob. But can you tell us all about it, please, bro?
So the ballroom scene is... the ballroom scene is something that, originated in Harlem in the 70s. It was... it kind of progressed through the resistance of just racism and mistreatment in even the queer community back then. It started from in the 60s. There used to be a drag pageant scene in which all the queenie mob there and stuff like that used to go and compete. But back then, the African Americans and Latinos and all that used to... have to paint themselves like predominantly white just to even be considered eligible, you know. And this is crazy coming from like a queer, this is crazy coming from like a queer space where, you know, you're supposed to accept and, you know, feel validated in some sense. So out of that, there's actually a documentary, it's called The Queen, which is where you can actually see kind of the moment of where it actually happened. And it was originated from a trans woman of color named Crystal La Beja. A lot of the ballroom scene is pretty much ran by trans women. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, it's their safe space to, you know, really feel validated and seen, and to show that, and just for a space for them to take up and really educate and, you know, give life lessons to all of us in the community. And yeah, it's just like a really nice safe space. But ballroom in general is it's a safe space for queer people of color, just be trans women. You know, it allows us to grow in authentic ways and support and just regain our self worth. And it's a space for us to engage and fight the fight for the wrongs that go wrong in our community. And you know, it draws attention to the issues that, you know, society doesn't really want to talk about and things like that. But overall, yeah, it started, it kicked off in the 70s, in which, you know, back then it was still quite underground, you know, when they used to have balls and stuff, because there was so because there was so much hate towards them, like hate crimes and stuff like that, they would actually have to host these events at like 2 a.m. when everyone was asleep, and they would have to go into like the underground areas, like literally like under the road, like, you know how there's the clubs that you like, you can go down, like underground kind of thing. So they would do it from there. And with ballroom, you know, you have your chosen families. You'll have a mother and a father of a house. We call it a house, your chosen family. And it's you pretty much have your mother and father, and you have like your kids, and it's pretty much just your family that you take into the community and help guide, and you all go and compete at events or functions
as a family.
As a family, and all these chosen families, all these houses all around the area will all come together in one place, and we'll all compete, as well as, you know, uplift each other and, you know, just enjoy each other's presence and learn. But it's all about, you know, competing. And we have these things, you might have seen it even in Paris's Burning, how they compete for trophies and cash prizes. And what it does is it kind of solidifies your legacy in a community where you actually feel seen. It's a great way for you to leave a legacy of what you feel like you can bring into a community, as far as leaving an impact and, you know, just wanting to be remembered for something. You know, we all want to be remembered for something, even if it's small, and ballroom is a great way for that to happen. We have different categories.
I was just going to say, it's, just that family vibe that you're talking about, and you get a mother and father and all that. Is that because, I guess, you know, particularly back in the 60s and 70s, and, you know, it's still hard now, but because, you know, there was so much hate towards gay mob and trans mob and lesbian mob back in the 60s and 70s, like real hate, you know, I guess, you know, people would have been kicked out of families, and to be able to come to a place with like a ballroom, like a hall like that, and I guess, you know, become part of a family there, you know, to look after and have that safety net. And I just feels like that these were sort of set up to really give people a safe place and to look after each other, you know, that us straight mob take for granted,
brother.
Yeah,
that's exactly it. Yes, that is exactly it. You know, when if you're going to get kicked out by your biological family, obviously it's not as hard as what it is back then, but like you said, it still happens today. You know, you don't know where else to go, and then all of a sudden you find this community and you start actually feeling what family essence is. And yeah, then you just jump in, and you, the mothers are, you know, trans women, and then the so in ballroom culture, for the trans women, we call them femme queens, and for the gay fathers, we call them bush queens.
Yeah, right.
And so yeah. So just a little terminology there for you.
Yeah, it's good because you know, it's good for us to be aware and learn words, and you know. Create a safe space the way we speak too for you mob, you know. So I love learning and I love the education around it, because it just makes me a better person.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like voguing is just like a subcategory of what the ballroom scene actually is. You know, they have other categories, like they have runway, which is more about your walk. They have best dress, which is obviously self-explanatory. They have face, which literally just highlights your face. I'm not too sure if I'm allowed to say the word sex.
Yep, you can totally say that, bro.
Okay. There's a category called sex siren, which was brought into it based off, you know, the sex workers back then and what they had to do to survive.
Yeah, right.
Because obviously, you know, being trans and that back then, you couldn't go and get a normal job because they wouldn't even look at you like twice.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of them had to become sex workers, right, to survive.
And so through that category, it allows, you know, the femme queens, as well as, you know, the BQs and all that, to really just have body positivity and to be liberated for the shape you are. And, And there's a whole bunch of other categories. Like there's one called Bizarre, which is one of my favorites. It's like
explain to our audiences what that is, brother.
Yeah, Bizarre is it's crazy. It's like people walk with like it's almost like a cereal. It's like watching a runway fashion show, but like times 10. Like the things that these people wear are like so big. Yep. Like it's literally like it can stand up like, I don't know, 12 feet high if they want. They can come in on stilts if they want. Like, it can be, like, so grand and just out of this world. And it's one of my fave categories. There's other categories. With Voguing, it originated with Old Way. But even before it was called Vogue, it was just considered performance and presentation.
Yeah, because it's such a unique style, Voguing. It's that very, you know, everyone knows what it is, particularly from the Madonna video back in the day, but it's a very unique style and it's sort of, you know, people are drawn to it.
Yeah, so Old Way was taken just from, the African roots of movement as well as like military and martial arts as far as how they used to stick their poses.
Yeah.
And that's why it used to be called precision and performance and stuff, because it used to be just how clean your lines were and, you know, posing for a picture and stuff in different time frames. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Pose. and then it moved from there into new way, which adds a little bit more athleticism as far as like just the contortion stuff that they do with their arms. It's crazy. Oh my god. But with Vogue. It's actually called Vogue Femme.
Yeah, right.
Like the thing that people see nowadays, because a lot of people pay attention to Vogue Femme because it's very like mainstream. But that was actually what it used to be called back in the 90s, because it kind of came through in the 90s. It used to be called Vogue, like your favorite femme queen. And so what was great, because pretty much with ballroom in any category, a lot of the trans women, like the femme queens, they are pretty much a lot of the reasoning into why the categories are the way they are, like face, sex desire, and like all that stuff. So even with Vogue, they ended up adding their flair, like that feminine essence, we call it. We call it that femme queen essence. And they added that into it, which really broke it down into the five elements, which is duck walk, catwalk, hands, floor performance, and a dip. From there, it used to be Vogue like your favorite femme queen, in which the butch queens used to like pick their favorite girls and try and Vogue like them. And
wow, there's so many layers to this, Josh. I had no idea, brother, and that's why I'm so glad I got you on today.
So in depth.
Yeah, but it's so glad that you're here to educate our mob and our audiences across Australia, because you know a lot of us don't know anything about this, but just really intrigued by it. And I don't know, it makes me feel good when I see all you mob in a safe place doing this together and supporting each other. But what was it about, you know, you go back to young Josh. What was it about the Voguing that drew you in, I guess? And, you know, when did you first start to get into it and why?
It was my own self-discovery journey.
Yep.
When I actually started dancing back in 2007, I was undercover. And I was actually crumping, funny enough.
Crumping?
The complete
big hip hop crumper.
Polar opposite. Yeah, and I was good at it too, but sure God.
No doubt.
I was in the best crump fams and men's in here. And I was doing it and I was doing good, and you know, it was really good, because I guess I got to get a lot of my own expression out, and I realized how powerful movement was through that.
Yeah, because crumping
going
pretty out there.
Yeah. Move. And it was great. It was great back then, because just like ballroom culture, it's based off an oppression. So that's one thing that always drew me to ballroom, because I ended up dabbling in the hip hop scene then and being a part of dance crews, and I got to represent Australia and overseas and stuff that. And you you get to mix a lot of different styles as far as what dance has to offer, and that's when I started learning about Vogue. And this was around 2011, and I was just in my last year of high school, And this is when all the Queenie mobs started coming out and doing it, like in the performances. And I was like, what is this? Like, everyone's living for it.
Yeah.
Because you know how sometimes like you see like a group of fellas doing like a hip hop performance, and then all of a sudden they break out into like something feminine, and the crowd just goes off because they don't expect it, or they, yeah. you know, they just think it's entertaining.
Yeah.
I always really like enjoyed that thought of, you know, that hypeness and that liberating just for people, just, you know, like enjoying a bunch of fellas doing something feminine. Because yeah. I knew, I knew that I was gay, but I hadn't come out yet. So I was like, okay, well, that's good. And then over the years, as it progressed with my dancing, I was like, I stopped hip hop for a bit and just started focusing on life a little bit more. And yeah, it wasn't until 2018, I started thinking about it. And I was like, I think I'm actually going to enjoy it, because in Sydney there, Niora, they were already going for it. Like, they were doing it, you know, for ages. And I would always watch their videos, and I was in like a tough position at the time where, yeah. you know, I couldn't just go and do it and stuff like that. But they always were always running functions and balls and things like that. And I would just watch. So then when 2019 came, the mother of the House of Alexander here, Ella, she was moving from Sydney back to Mianjin just to start the ballroom community here. And I was saying the same thing, like, you know, I wanted to do the exact same thing. And so that's what really kicked it off. Just because I had kind of come into my own now as an openly gay man.
Yep.
I had done what I felt like I needed to do in the hip hop scene. And yeah, I felt like I've always been about community. Like, a lot of my dancing comes from community based development.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was always something that I really appreciated. Just that friendly vibe, you know, just looking after each other or just enjoying each other's presence. And yeah, that's what really made me want to get into it more. And so, yeah, 2019 came and we got it done. And now it's great here because we're taking up so much space in events that I never thought we would even be able to, you know?
Yeah.
And we're getting taken seriously, which is great, and we hold ourselves high about it because...
Well, you should be taken seriously because you don't muck around. You know, this is not just amateur. The videos that I've seen, you mob go hard. Mm. Like, this is professional dancing and, you know, performance.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, like, you know, it's so, like, soft and you know, it looks elegant and things like that. And I'm like, do you know how much body, like, how much pain you have to put your body in just to try and look that... You know when they say pain is beauty?
Yeah.
That's it, right there.
Yeah, Madonna makes it look easy. She's only just moving her hands, you know. You might be doing the whole thing.
Well, yeah, well, see, that's the thing too, is like, it's a shame that kind of happened. Like, as much as, you know, when you reference Vogue, you know, people always go to Madonna. And
yep.
it kind of sucks in a sense because the people who were behind it didn't really get the light that they needed, and it was very, like, commercialized and... You know, and they even say that about Paris is Burning, to be honest. Like, as much as it's a great documentary, a lot of the people in the community at the time didn't feel like it highlighted exactly what ballroom is about.
Yeah, right.
Because like you said, like, there's so much more, like, besides the balls, like when you see them perform and the houses battling it out for the trophies, there's so much more to it in the reality of the type of lifestyles that the queer community has to live, especially, you know, trans women, especially trans women of colour.
Yeah, yeah. A good friend of mine, yeah. Benny Gratz, a.k.a. Miscellaneous, really educated me about the minority within the minority, and I guess the level mm-hmm. of racism within the broader gay community out there. How was that in Brisbane for you, Mob? Because, yeah, it's quite a difficult conversation when you talk about racism in the gay community, because it... You know, I've been told some pretty hectic things, and I just wonder how that scene is up here for you, Mob, and how you guys thrive, I guess, in a big, broader gay community.
Yeah, look, you know, we didn't... When we first started and we started going into these queer spaces, we realised, like, how much there wasn't any representation of us at all.
Yep.
Like, even just in the normal clubbing scene, like... you know, and to go back, sorry, to even answer one of your earlier questions about why I joined Borum is like, you know, with culture, sometimes, you know, in mob you can get, you know, homophobia.
Yep.
But then in the queer community, yeah, you get racism. So it's like, where do you go? And that's why I say Borum.
Yep.
Because, yeah. But as far as here in Yinzin, it's no one really messes with us, to be honest. it's not in the sense like, oh, you talk about us, we're gonna enroll you. You know, like, yeah, it's not like that or anything. Like, we still act very professional in the spaces and all of that stuff. But it's,
but you're standing in the light as a staunch together, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, we make sure that we all, like, our house, we have, like, our house is pretty big here. Like, we have, just under 20, I'm pretty sure, now.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, all of us walking together as a group, you know, no one's gonna say nothing or anything, but at the end of the day,
Look like a scene out of Black Panther, the movie. You might walking down the street there, you know?
That's how I feel too sometimes. We've never created any hostility or anything. You know, I always say we're always respectfully resilient.
Yep.
And, you know, that comes from us all having, you know, a Black culture about us. You know, we take those lessons and values that we have in our own traditional cultures, but we have to put a force of resilience with it into the community to do it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't overly say Mianjin's crazy racist towards us, but then again, they probably wouldn't tell us even if they were. You know what I mean?
Well, it's glad that you do have a safe place and you are resilient and staunch. It makes me feel good hearing all that, brother.
Yeah, and like the community here, like, it's so great. Like, you know how many, every time we have like a community throwdown, we get all these new people with all these different issues and insecurities and stuff. And by the time that they leave, they're so liberated.
Mm.
And, you know, we don't, Ella and myself, and, you know, even the house that I'm in, we never ask for anything. But to have that is always such like a, you know, big belly full of, you know, joy and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it must make you feel good. And I guess, you know, the mothers and the fathers there. But to have young people come along who are just, I guess, because I imagine it'd be just as hard to come out today as it was back in the 60s or 50s or anything like that. I couldn't imagine it, you know. Come out and tell the world who you are, and parts of the world still don't sort of, you know, agree with what you're doing. But it just must feel so good for you, Mob, to create a safe place there for young Black fellas to come in and like you said, express themselves, feel liberated, feel loved, feel supported. Because that just weird, you know, I've got young nieces and nephews that are gay and lesbian and trans. And I just see this as such a beautiful thing, what you mob are doing, and I guess the safety net that you're creating.
Yeah, and the one thing that I'm loving now is I'm really trying to, I'm just trying to, you know, show First Nation queer mob out there that, you know, that although you probably don't, like, you know, you don't feel encouraged in life or you don't know where you're going, like, you don't have to participate in Borum, but you can always come and support, and, you know, you can just be as liberated if you're not, like, just by being in the audience watching, you know, just by being a spectator, you know, you can see people that, you can see people that represent who you are sometimes to, like, to the T. You know, you can see someone be like, oh my God, that's exactly who I want to be. Like, that's exactly how I want to hold myself. And it's like, I feel like it's so important, especially in today's climate with, like, you know, the young queer First Nation adolescents and stuff, and just, you know, the road that they're going, it'll just be so nice to allow them to see that there is a space for them to be able to grow and actually feel respected. Because I can tell you something, Bola. This Borum Australia and Borum New Zealand, the amount of respect that they have for Indigenous culture is, like, it's amazing. I'm still not even used to it now.
That's so great to hear. And it really is. You know?
Yeah, you know, like, I'm not even used to it now, and it makes, like, yeah.
No, I want to come and check out some Borum. I want to come and do my thing. I love dancing, bruh. I can shake it down.
I bet you can. No, I heard about you.
No, I'd love to come and check it out. I really would. I just think it's you know, it'd be a beautiful thing, and just to come and celebrate, you know, UMOB, and, you know, honour UMOB, and, yeah, just see what you do would be a beautiful thing. And, like I said, it'd be great for just, you know, any mob to come check it out and be a part of it and celebrate, you know, ballroom and voguing and, you know, and learn so much about this world that we know nothing about that you've been so beautifully brought to the show today, brother.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Well, we're running out of time, and I know you're moving house today, so I don't want to take up too much of your time, but have you got any events coming up that people can check out? Or if there's young people out here listening, it might be, oh, I want to go check this out, but I'm a bit scared and whatnot. How do they find the House of Alexander or just get involved in the community, brother?
So the House of Alexander, you can follow on Facebook and Instagram. You can just type in House of Alexander and it'll come up. And that'll be a way for you to keep updated with what's going on. We've got a ball happening in September, a part of Brisbane Festival.
Wow.
But also on top of that, we also do community throwdowns, and which is like a community engagement. So, you know, you don't have to come and participate, but you can come and watch and just see what it's like and, you know, see how you feel and, you know, you can meet new people and you never know where, you know, there's people that you might meet. You never know the friendships and relationships that might come from that. And
exactly.
Yeah. So I guess I just, you know, no hard feelings if you mob out there don't come to it or anything, but I really do encourage it if you feel like you need it. You know, it's important to give yourself some self-love, and I feel like the ballroom community is the first thing that you should look at as far as being black and queer.
And also, besides the ball, if you want to see more of what it's about just before you come, the House of Alexander actually has a doco series based on Curious Australia. And that's actually very... on August 4th, SBS, Viceland, and NITV also. So if you wanted just to check it out, then, yeah, we'd love for you to check it out and just see what we're about and what we do. And then hopefully we'll actually see you at the ball in September.
Beautiful, brother. Go and check out that documentary, people, NITV, SBS, Viceland. I'm going to go check it out myself so I can learn some stuff. But, Josh, thanks for coming on the show and... opening up the window into your world and the world of ballroom and voguing. And I just feel very lucky to have this yarn, and hopefully some young ears are out there are listening, and hopefully some older ears have learned something as well from your beautiful community. I'll just, yeah, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me, Bob. I really enjoyed this, and thanks for allowing me to be able to, like, talk about this type of stuff, because I know it's a bit, you know, taboo still in some areas, but I really do appreciate it.
Well, we'll smash that taboo stuff. Don't worry about that, Cass.
You know, yeah, right.
You know, it's 2022. You know, let's eradicate the taboo. But, yeah, it's been a beautiful yarn. I can't wait to get along, you know. Look out, people. Uncle Danny's coming out to vogue and gammon. have a beautiful day, Josh, and good luck with the move. And to you mob out there listening, have a great day. Go look after your mob, heal country, and look after each other. You've been listening to Let's Talk on Triple A Murray Country.